Have you ever had a conversation with someone about giving? Have you had a conversation about how much you give, or how often you give, or who you give to? Because I don't think I've ever had that kind of conversation. I think there are some subjects that we just don't talk about, and we could probably come up with a list of things that we've never really discussed in any detail with anyone. With most people, talking about God, talking about religion, talking about politics are generally avoided. And we don't talk about our personal finances with anyone unless we really have to. But we've been talking about giving for the past couple of weeks here on Sunday mornings, and we've already heard a bit about the principles and the practices of tithing and of first fruits. So 2 weeks ago from Phil, and then Louise last week. And if you weren't here for those, then I would highly recommend going to the Portsmouth Church website, where you can listen to all the talks that you might have missed in the past, or listen to them again, which is well worth doing, because often we miss little bits when we're here hearing a talk. But both Phil and Louise mentioned the fact that talking about giving is quite an emotional and sensitive subject. It's a subject that can lead to all sorts of feelings and emotions. And we're often asked, aren't we, to give to charity or to support good causes. Or we can be stopped in the street by someone asking for money, for food, or something else. And in fact, there are countless opportunities to give. And we can perhaps feel overwhelmed by that, or we struggle to know how to respond to people when they ask us for money. So we've called our series this month, Giving, It's Not What You Think, which raises the question, what do we think about giving? And have we had the opportunity to talk about it? And where do our ideas about giving come from to start with? And again, Phil and Louise both talked a little bit about experiences from childhood that shaped their attitudes towards giving and towards spending money. So please do listen to those talks, either for the first time or listen to them again, because they were very, very helpful, very interesting. And I think it's helpful to explore where our ideas and where our convictions about things come from, because giving probably is a subject that we haven't really talked a lot about. So it seems a good idea to do this, to spend time, to spend a month thinking about giving together. And we're exploring what the Bible teaches us about giving. If you're new to the church, or new to church, then terms like tithing and first fruits can seem very strange and unfamiliar. But Jesus, he spoke a lot about money, and a lot about wealth, and a lot about possessions. And he was asked about paying taxes. And he told at least one rich man to go and sell everything he had and give it all to the poor. And we can wonder what we're supposed to do when it comes to money and giving. 2 weeks ago, Phil mentioned that Jesus talks more about money than perhaps, well, almost any other subject. So it's important. It's an important topic. And one of the things that Jesus talked about money was because he was talking to people who were very familiar with something he calls the law. And these past 2 weeks, we've begun by looking into the book of Deuteronomy, which is one of the books of the law. In fact, Deuteronomy, that title literally means second law. Deuteronomos, second law. And Deuteronomy, it's close to the beginning of the Bible. It's the fifth book that we get to if we start from the beginning. And the first five books of the Bible are sometimes, they're grouped together and they're called the Pentateuch or the Torah. And the Torah, the Pentateuch, for Jewish people is really important. But if we're honest, they're not the easiest books to read, particularly Leviticus and Numbers. We struggle to read those books. Some people love Leviticus. But at the men's weekend last year, the speaker asked us what our favourite book of the Bible was. And that led to some very interesting discussions. And so I'd encourage that sort of question and that kind of discussion. What's our favourite book of the Bible? And again, if you're new to church, then you might be wondering, why would anyone talk about that? But please don't be put off. The Bible is one of those books that's actually a collection of books that's been put together rather than just one book. And finding our way around the Bible can be quite tricky. It takes a little bit of time, but it's well worth doing. And reading the Bible has literally changed the lives of so many people, myself included, that I like to encourage anyone and everyone to read the Bible and keep reading the Bible, read the Bible as much as you can. But back to Deuteronomy and the question of why do we give? Well, you might have noticed from Louise reading the passage that it's kind of instructions, lots of instructions. And the law was a collection of instructions that God gave to Moses to teach the people about how they should live in the land that they were going to go into and enter, the land that God had promised to give them. So the giving of the law actually happened. It was a historical event, and it was a very important time, a very important event for the Jewish people, for the people of Israel. And if we think about our own situation, you know, we have laws too, don't we? We have laws that we're supposed to follow. Sometimes laws change or new laws are introduced by the government. And if you think about it, different laws apply to different people. So in this country, we drive on the left-hand side of the road. That's the law. If you went over to France and drove on the left-hand side of the road, you would be in trouble very, very quickly. It's against the law. And perhaps that's an obvious example, but we can think of other laws that are different depending on where we live. So different countries have different laws. But some laws are the same wherever you go. I doubt if there's any country where stealing or murder isn't punished severely. And that's the thing about laws. If you break a law, then there are consequences normally. And we're punished in some way when we break a law, and that's how it's supposed to work. And every day in the news, you might have noticed this week, there are stories of people breaking laws and being punished. And it's one of the things that we find ourselves thinking about or talking about. We can find it quite interesting, what people have done wrong and the consequences. We can even become a little bit obsessed about laws and law breaking and who's doing what. So in Deuteronomy, there are quite a lot of laws. And in fact, the whole book is encouraging this people, the Israelites, to follow God's laws, to keep and obey the laws that God has given to them. And as we've heard, there are laws about tithing and about other kinds of giving. And we've seen that over the past couple of weeks. And as Phil said, tithing is about giving a proportion of what we have. 10% is what the word tithing actually means. And the principle of first fruits is about our priorities and the priority that we're giving to giving. So Louise mentioned last week that giving from the first fruits every year was a way of showing trust in God. If we start by giving the first bit of the harvest, that's because we trust that there will be enough in the rest of the harvest for us to live comfortably all through the year. So it's a way of recognizing that everything that we have comes from God. So giving a tithe or a tenth, that happens once we've gathered everything in, and it's a proportion, and then we give that proportion away. First fruits, it's about priority. So if we're thinking about the principles of giving that come from the law and how that might influence the way that we give, then giving a proportion of what we have and making it a priority, that seems to be principles that are good to put into practice. So what else can we learn from Deuteronomy? Let's read just a couple of verses from chapter 16 again. So chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of tabernacles. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. So again, there's a repetition of this idea of proportional giving. But what can we learn from this? What are the principles that we've got here? The chapter starts with Passover. Many of us have heard of Passover and the importance of that. I'm not going to go into details this morning. But it was an annual reminder of how God had rescued the people from slavery in Egypt. And the Passover was part of the festival of unleavened bread. I don't know, has anyone celebrated the festival of unleavened bread? Probably not. How about the festival of weeks or tabernacles? No, we don't do it. They're not laws that directly apply to us. But verse 16 makes it clear that three times a year, all the people, I'm assuming it wasn't just the men, but that the whole families, they would travel together. They would all go to Jerusalem three times a year for these three festivals. It's perhaps hard to imagine the whole population of the nation going for a few days or for a week. Some of them would have had to travel a long way, but that's what they did. And it was really important that they didn't stay behind, that the men didn't stay home working and they sent the rest of the family off with the gifts. No, they had to go as well. There's something about appearing before the Lord, about being present in Jerusalem in order to give what they had to give. What else can we learn from this? So giving was three times a year, it was in person, it was before the Lord. And it says very specifically in verse 17, each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. It's not possible to go to appear before the Lord empty-handed. That's the end of verse 16. So that teaches us that giving was regular and there was a rhythm to it. And we can think about ourselves. We can think about when we come on a Sunday and gather together. We do that very regularly. We do that every week or every other week or perhaps once a month. But it's a regular activity that we do. And when we come together, just a small kind of example, we can think of those as rites, all gathering three times a year. And it's about rhythm. It's about coming before the Lord. It's about coming with something to give to the Lord. We must bring a gift. We must bring something. That's what it says here. And it's part of worship, isn't it? It's part of how we worship God, is to give. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when we give to charity, or we give to someone who asks us. But in fact, I think this teaches us that all of our giving can be giving to God. All of our giving can be part of our worship to God. And it's so important that in Deuteronomy, there's a whole section of laws from chapter 12 through to chapter 26. And in that section, and all those chapters about laws, it starts with worship in chapter 12. And it ends with worship in chapter 26. And here we are kind of in the middle and it's talking about worship. And linked with all of those times of worship is either tithing or first fruits or giving or offering or sacrifice. That's so integral to how God wanted his people to worship him. So if we have it on our hearts to worship God, then giving can be part of that every time we give. And the other thing that really stands out from this passage in Deuteronomy 16 is rejoicing. So we have it in verse 11 with the festival of weeks. Rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. We have it again in verse 14. Be joyful at your festival. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites and the foreigners, the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns. So giving is meant to be a celebration. It's meant to be a joyful thing. It's meant to be something that we do gladly. And even if these instructions, these laws are not for us specifically, this idea of joyful giving is picked up in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'll just read one verse to you. We had it a couple of weeks ago when Phil was speaking to us. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7 says this: each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So there's joy to be found in giving. We're not under the same laws as the Israelites today. We don't circumcise baby boys. That's not something we do. We're free to eat whatever we want. There are no restrictions on whatever foods we eat. But when it comes to giving, what is encouraged is cheerful giving. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, but freely giving to God. And I think it's important for us to think about giving and think about our giving. Think about how we go about that. We don't talk about it, but we know what we do. And perhaps we don't think that giving is fun. Perhaps we don't think of celebration and festival when we think of giving. But that's what Deuteronomy teaches us. The only times in Deuteronomy that festival is mentioned, festival, that idea of coming together and feasting, is here in chapter 16, and one mention in chapter 31, but it's concentrated here. So this is what it's about. We're not forced. We're not to do it reluctantly. That's not how God wants us to give. God wants us to experience joy and peace, and for our lives to be filled with love and gratitude to him for the good gifts that we receive from his good hand. So when we think about giving, remember, we're giving to God. Whatever we give, whether that's time, whether that's money, whether that's encouragement, whether that's support, whether that's help, whatever we're giving, really we're giving to God. We have the opportunity as part of our worship. That's how God has made us. God is generous towards us so that we can be generous towards others. Giving is all about attitude and perspective and connecting with God. It's about trust and it's about faith, and it's part of the way that we worship God and celebrate and acknowledge his goodness towards us. So giving is a great thing. Again, in 2 Corinthians, it talks about the grace of giving, and that's a grace that we can experience every day because we can give every day, and we give because we receive. The thing about Deuteronomy is it's all in the context of God giving them land that they could then work and produce crops, which they would then tithe and bring as offerings. Now, we live in a very different world, but it starts with God, and we respond. And that's a brilliant thing. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the way that you speak to us as we read your word. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to encourage us to think about giving and to talk about giving perhaps with one another, Lord, and to learn about how you want us to give, Lord, in a regular way, Lord, with a rhythm to it, Lord, as we come together. Lord, may we offer our all to you because you have given us everything, Lord, and we praise you for that. We praise you for the God you are, the great God who shows us the way, who helps us along the way, who gives us everything that we need, Lord, who can be trusted in everything. Lord, we thank you that you are that God, Lord. We thank you that we can know you, and we thank you for your blessings on our lives. Lord, help us to be generous people who bless you and bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.